Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balabha Giribhara Dhari Jashwaranandana Braja Janarandana Jamuna Tirabana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivritikacharya Ashto Tadadita Shri Shri Madhistavanga Isaisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnavara Vrinda Ki Jai Iskan Bibiti Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Iskan Guru Vrinda Ki Jai Prem Sakaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gogopina Shamakun Radhakun Giri Govardhana Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Jai Shri Mayapur Dhamma Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Dhamma Ki Jai Tulsi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Ganga Jamuna Maya Ki Jai Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaur Premanande Samaveda Bhaktavinda Ki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Guru. I'm grateful for this opportunity that's been given to me to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam today. I have to admit, this is probably the most difficult verse I've ever been given. So I needed about another 10 hours to prepare for it, but we'll try our best. Hold on 1 second. Okay, we'll start. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 21. Chapter's entitled, The Gopis Glorify Krishna's Flute. Let me read the chapter summary, and then we'll get into we're covering the first two verses today. Okay, the gopis glorify the song of Krishna's flute. This chapter describes how Lord Sri Krishna entered the enchanting forest of Vrindavan upon the arrival of autumn, and the praises the young cowherd girls sang when they heard the vibration of his flute. As Lord Krishna, Lord Balaram, and their cowherd friends entered the forest to graze the cows, Krishna began playing his flute. The gopis heard the enchanting flute song and understood that Krishna was entering the forest. Then they narrated to each other the Lord's various activities. The gopis declared, To see Lord Krishna playing his flute while taking the cows to pasture is the highest perfection for the eyes. What pious activities has this flute performed that enable him to freely drink the nectar of Sri Krishna's lips, a blessing we cowherd girls find difficult to achieve? Hearing the song of Krishna's flute, the peacocks dance, and all the other creatures become stunned when they see them. Demigoddesses traveling through the sky in their airplanes are vexed by Cupid, and their garments become loose. The ears of the cows stand on end as they drink the nectar of this flute song, and their calves simply stand stunned. The milk they've been drinking from their mother's udders still in their mouths. The birds take shelter of the branches of the trees and close their eyes, listening to the song of Krishna's flute with rapt attention. The flowing rivers become perturbed by conjugal attraction for Krishna, and stopping their flow, embrace Krishna's lotus feet with the arms of their waves. While the clouds serve as parasols to shade Krishna's head from the hot sun, the aborigine women of the Shobara race, seeing the grass stained by the red kumkum adorning the Lord's lotus feet, smear this vermilion powder upon their breasts and face to alleviate the distress caused by Cupid. Govardhan Hill offers grass and various kinds of fruits and bulbous roots in worship of Lord Sri Krishna. All the non-moving living beings take on the characteristics of moving creatures, and the moving living beings become stationary. These things are all very wonderful. Okay. So text one, I will chant because we got text two on the board. There's no purport to text one. Shri Shuka Uvacha Itam Sharat Swacha Jalam Padmakwara Sugandina Yavishad Vayuna Vatam Sago Gopalako Chuta. Sukadev Goswami said, thus the Vrindavan forest was filled with transparent autumnal waters and cooled by breezes performed with the fragrance of lotus flowers growing in the clear lakes. The infallible Lord, accompanied by his cows and cowherd boyfriends, entered that Vrindavan forest. So the last chapter is a description of the autumn season. And this chapter, this is from the commentaries of the Acharyas, deals with Krishna's activities during this autumn season. So, now what's on the board? Because I got about 10 pages of notes. No, I'm sorry, I've only got six. But I'm moving pretty quickly on this, you know, so because I know Krishna lunch has to go out, and we don't want to lose a good man prematurely. Okay, so let's do the Sanskrit chanting for text two. Kushamita vanaraji shushmi bringa I'm not sure what tune to use with that. It's not Dvija Kula Gushta Shara Charin Mahindram. Madhupatir Avagayam Charayanga. Saha Pashu Pala Balas Chukuja Venam. Please chant. Maybe someone will be able to get the tune right on it. That sounds good. Okay. Vijakula gusta shara sharin madhidam. Rupatir avagaya katampa. Very good. Anybody else? Kusumitava raji smushmi smringa. Vijakula gusta shara sharin mahindra. Adupatir avagaya ksharanika. Saha pasupala balas chukudhiram. Kusumita, flowering. Vanaraji, among the groups of trees. Sushmi, maddened. Bringa, with bees. Dvija, of birds. Kula, and flax. Gushta, resounding. Shara, its lakes. Sarit, rivers. Ahindram, and hills. Madhupati, the Lord of Madhu, Krishna. Avagaya, entering. Charayan, while tending. Ga, the cows. Sahapashupala Bala, in the company of the cowherd boys and Lord Balaram. Chukuja, vibrated. Venam, his flute. Translation and purport by the followers of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The lakes, rivers, and hills of Vrindavan resounded with the sounds of maddened bees and flocks of birds moving about the flowering trees. In the company of the cowherd boys and Balaram, Madhupati, Sri Krishna entered that forest, and while herding the cows, he began to vibrate his flute. Purport. As suggested by the words Chukuja Venum, Lord Krishna skillfully blended the sound of his flute with the lovely sounds of Vrindavan's multicolored birds. Thus, an irresistible heavenly vibration was created. Om Ganatim Arandasya Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Omritam Ganateshvai Shri Guruve Namaha. Hare Krishna. Usually when I give a Bhagavatam class, I like to try to make it personally applicable to our own situations. So this one's a little more difficult than usual. There's a Srila Prabhupada in his instructions, Lord Chaitanya in his instructions to Sanatan Goswami described what sadhana bhakti is all about. Because for the most part, this is our situation. And kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhavasa sadhana binta bita nitya siddhasya bhavasya prakatyam riddhi sadhyate. So when transcendental devotional service, by which love for Krishna is attained, is executed by the senses, it is called sadhana bhakti, or the regulative discharge of devotional service. Such devotion eternally exists within the heart of every living entity. The awakening of this eternal devotion is the potentiality of devotional service and practice. Okay, so there's some nice analogies that Prabhupada gives. He gave the example of a child learning to walk. And he has the innate ability to walk, but he's just got to practice a little bit and then it comes. When I was learning to walk, I heard this from my family. My brother, who was 1 year and 10 months older than I was, he used to come up behind me and push me over. The beginning of sibling rivalry, I guess. So it's a practice. We have this Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunaya. So we have this innate love for Krishna within our hearts, in the heart of every living entity. But it's covered over by illusion, by the material energy. So There's an analogy that Prabhupada uses in the Nectar of Devotion. These are practices will help one become cured of madness. So it's like so a man's mental disease is cured by the directions of a psychiatrist. So sadhana bhakti cures the conditioned soul of its madness under the spell of maya, or material illusion. So then there's a really relevant verse from Prahlad Maharaj. From Lord Rishabhdev in his instructions to his sons. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma yad indriya pritaya apranoti na sarumanye yata atmanoyam asan apiklishita asadeha. When a person considers sense gratification the aim of life. Anybody here in that situation? Okay, he's admitting it. No. No, but the point is that to some extent we all have this contamination. So one considers this the aim of life, he becomes mad after materialistic living and engages in all kinds of sinful activities. He doesn't understand that this body is the source, is a cause of his misery. He's been awarded this material body because of his desire for sense gratification. Therefore, Lord Rishabhdev says, I don't think it's befitting an intelligent man to engage again in sense gratification, whereby he gets one body after another. Okay, so this is what sadhana does. It cures us of this mental illness of thinking we're our bodies, thinking that this material world is there for us to enjoy. We're thinking this will make us happy, to just indulge like our senses like anything. But ultimately, it causes tremendous suffering. Okay, so there's a wake-up that devotees go through when they take up the process of Krishna consciousness that actually, it's not in my best interest to engage in sense gratification. My best interest is to uncover my innate Krishna consciousness. And that's what's really going to make me happy. And I get sneak previews of that along the way. Right? A little shot of bliss here and there. Okay, so there are two types of sadhana bhakti. Let's see. For two pieces of burfi after class, who can name what those two types of sadhana bhakti are? I'm sorry? Vaidhi sadhana bhakti? Okay, that's one. Now you only got one more to go. You got one piece of burfi. Now to get the other piece, you got to come up with the other one. Speak nice and loud. Oh, I forgot to put my hearing aids on. Hold on, I still got them here. Go ahead, what were you saying? You got to say it really loud. Okay, what's it called? What did you say? Raganuga sadhana bhakti. It's actually still sadhana, but it's slightly different. Okay. Fully equipping myself here to hear. Actually, there's an interesting point that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami makes in Adi Leela, chapter. Yeah, this class, I'm warning you, this is going to be a massive sleeping pill, okay? Because it's there's a lot of details in it, very deep philosophy. I won't tell so many exciting stories, except for the one, you know, where my brother would push me over when I was learning to walk. That's kind of like what Maya does, you know, pushes us over when we're learning how to walk. And sometimes we fall down and we get a big owie on our knees. And that's an impetus for, Mommy, please, Krishna, engage me in your service. Okay, that's the genuine cry of a child for its mother. Okay, so Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami makes the point in the fourth chapter of Adi Leela, that Lord actually appeared, Lord Chaitanya actually appeared to propagate devotional service in the world on the platform of spontaneous attraction. Okay? You got it? Everyone got that point? There's going to be a big exam after the class, so make sure you stay awake. Because if you pass the exam, then you get 10 pieces of burfi. All right, here we go. So then, it's an important thing. And this is, you know, I haven't taught nectar devotion in 5 years. But, so I did a quick review on this. But in order to practice Raganuga Bhakti, Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, first of all, one shouldn't do it prematurely. Prabhupada was very upset with some of the devotees in Los Angeles. Jitendra probably remembers this whole crescendo of kind of like a ISKCON fiasco. And Prabhupada, it was referred to as a Gopi Bhav Club, and devotees started prematurely practicing Raganuga Bhakti. One can't do this, Prabhupada makes the point very strongly in Nectar Devotion, until, he said, there's a stage called Anartha Nirvritti. So if one is materially attached still, and he tries to do that, and then rather than being uplifted, one will be degraded. Okay, so it can cause fall down if one prematurely does it. So this is something that we'll get into an understanding of what it is. Now, why am I covering this? Because it's because of its relevance. Ultimately, you know, Lord Chaitanya, he came to propagate service, devotional service in the world on the platform of spontaneous attraction. So it's not something that's not a part of our process. It's a very significant part. Prabhupada didn't speak about it in public, And he wrote about it sparingly, but yet he wrote about it. And I'm aware of very senior and advanced devotees that are actually practicing Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti. And they're not, it's not a nonsense. It's a very sincere effort. They don't advertise themselves as such because that's contradictory to the whole process. It's not for name and fame. And that's what the Siddha Pranalis would do. You know, they would try to show off with their advancement and all kinds of crazy things. You see it in Vrindavan, you see it at Radhakund. And contradictory to the mood that Rupa Goswami propagated. So to understand what Raghunuga Bhakti is all about, we first have to understand what Raga means. Does anybody know what that is? Well, that's a big part of it. It's a fact. So to get a little bit more, this is how Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the first wave, or the first, the southern division, the second wave, he says, Raga, Rupa Goswami is defined Raga as spontaneous attraction for something while completely absorbed in thoughts in it with an intense desire of love. Okay, so we'll get into a little bit more detail of that. Now, I'm bringing this up because this is very much connected with the text 2, verse and purport. What is this all about? You know, so I'm trying to bring it down to an understandable level. Okay, so before we go any further, I wanted to quote, here's a famous verse that's used by Rupa Goswami in his presentation on raga, which is the primary component of Ragatmaka Bhakti. And we'll understand why we're bringing up Ragatmaka Bhakti and the difference between Ragatmaka Bhakti and Raghunuga Bhakti in about 2 minutes. Okay, so Gopya Kamad Bayat Kamso Dweshak Chaya Dayo Nripa Sambandha Vishnaya Snehad Yuyam Bhaktya Vayam Vibho. Okay, so this is Narada Muni to King Yudhisthira. This is from the 7th canto, 1st chapter, 31st verse. My dear King Yudhisthira, the gopis, by their lusty desire, Kamsa by his fear, Shishupal and other kings by envy, the Yadus by their familial relationship with Krishna, you, Pandavas by your great affection for Krishna, and we, the general devotees, by our devotional service, have obtained the mercy of Krishna. Again, this is Narada speaking. Okay, so spontaneous emotion more effectively allows us to absorb our minds in Krishna than we can absorb them with regulated practice. Kamsa's fear and Shishupal's envy made them absorbed in thought of Krishna. Interesting. Okay, so there's six kinds. You know, Narada, he gives six kinds of spontaneous attachment. Lusty desire in the gopis, fear in Kamsa, envy in Shishupal, kinship in the Vishnis or Yadavas, affection in the Pandavas, devotional service in Narada. So all of these six forms of attachment, they're liberating. But only two of them are genuine examples of Ragatmaka Bhakti. So Ragatmaka Bhakti, that's, you know, the residence of Vrindavan. You know, the eternal residents of Vrindavan, they have Ragatmika Bhakti. They have the rag. Okay, so but there's only two of these six that I just mentioned that are actual Ragatmika Bhakti. Anybody want to Take a guess, or maybe you know. Lusty desire in the gopis, fear in Kamsa, envy in Shishupal, kinship in the Vishnis or Yadavas, affection in the Pandavas, devotional service in Narada. Again, the Ragatmaka is spontaneous emotion. Okay, everybody give up? Okay, it's lusty desire in the gopis and kinship in the Vishnis or Yadavas. Pandavas are left out. Narada is left out. Of course, Kamsa and Shishupa are left out because their mood isn't favorable, which is not part Anukulyena Krishnanu. It has to, you know, the pure devotional service has to be favorably executed. They were trying to kill Krishna. Okay. Is everybody asleep yet? Oops. No? Okay, hang in there. Okay, so Prabhupada says that there are two, you see the difference between the affection of the Pandavas and the affection of Narada Muni is that they were aware that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas the gopis and the other residents of Vrindavan were not aware. I just said, he's a cowherd boy, a regular guy. I love him, but he's not the Supreme Lord. So there was more intimacy in the relationship, and the attraction went much deeper. Everyone got it? Any questions or comments at this point? Is everyone sufficiently confused? No? It's clear? Okay. So there are two types, this is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there are two types of Ragatmaka Bhakti, that impelled by conjugal feelings, Kama Rupa, and that impelled by other relationships, Sambandha Rupa. So what are we talking about in today's verse? Which one of those of the two types would that be? Say it real loud. Kamarupa, that's correct. Okay, so then. So we've got to make clear that that's not the kama of the material world. It's a completely different platform. It's not the sex indulgence, you know, of this material world. So, Prabhupada in the Nectar Devotion, page 122, he says, the lusty attitude of the gopis does not refer to any sort of sex indulgence. Srila Rupa Goswami explains that the lusty desire refers to the devotee's particular attitude of association with Krishna. Every devotee in his perfectional stage has a spontaneous attraction to the Lord. This attraction is sometimes called the lusty desire of the devotee. The lust is the devotee's excessive desire to serve the Lord in a particular capacity. Such a desire may seem to be a desire for enjoying the Lord, but actually the endeavor is to serve the Lord in that capacity. Okay, got it? Okay, so now what we're going to do is give a definition. Now this is from Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Madhya, or to Sanatana Goswami again in chapter 22 of Madhya Lila. I won't go through the Bengali, but I'll just read the English because of the time factor. When one becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his natural inclination to love is fully absorbed in thoughts of the Lord. That is called transcendental attachment. And devotional service according to that attachment is called a ragatmaka, or spontaneous devotional service. Okay, so now we're going to put this into the framework which allows us to understand what I've just been talking about with ragatmaka bhakti And the second, the more elevated stage of sadhana bhakti, which is? Okay, you got to answer this question now, each one of you. There's two kinds of sadhana bhakti. And one of them is a more advanced platform. Okay, so that's what the Ragatmika is all about. We've got to understand what Ragatmika bhakti is. The gopis, they're Ragatmika bhaktas. They have this intense, spontaneous desire to love Krishna in a particular way. Very, very intense. Just so absorbed. Completely absorbed. Okay. Now, here is a definition of Raganuga Bhakti. I'm not going to go to the Sanskrit here. Devotional service. No, this is actually Bengali. Devotional service and spontaneous love is vividly expressed and manifested by the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Okay? You got that point? Those are the Ragatmakas. Devotional service that accords with their devotional service is called Raganuga Bhakti, or devotional service following the wake of spontaneous loving service. Okay, we'll clarify this, but pay close attention because there's been a tremendous amount of confusion in our movement over this whole practice of Raganuga Bhakti. Whew, heavy duty. But it's not, it's something that we should understand. If we understand it, then it doesn't create any disturbance. Understand what it's about. It's something that ultimately we should be aiming for. But we can't do it as a prakriti sahajiya to be qualified. So the point is that we bring our level of qualification higher and higher and higher by vigorously practicing Panchanga Bhakti, because that's our express elevator, the five most potent forms of bhakti. Do you know what they are? Can you say? No? Okay. It's important to know where we're going to get the biggest boost for our investment. In other words, the boost means that we become humbler and humbler and humbler and enter more into the spiritual energy of the Lord, the internal potency. And that's something that requires surrender and humility. We can't do it by our brute strengths. Okay, the qualification for Raganuga Bhakti. This is again from Madhya 22. When an advanced realized devotee hears about the affairs of the devotees of Vrindavan, he becomes inclined in this way, and his intelligence becomes attracted. Indeed, he begins to covet that particular type of devotion. When such covetousness is awakened, one's intelligence no longer depends on the instructions of Shastra, revealed scripture, logic, or argument. Interesting point. Okay, so Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti is driven by the impetus for it is the instructions of the spiritual master and the instructions coming from Shastra. Whereas with Raganuga Bhakti, the impetus is this intense attraction for serving Krishna according to a particular rag that's demonstrated by the Ragatmaka Bhaktas of Vrindavan. Everybody get it? Okay. Okay, so this is... Here's translation from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Banuswami. The appearance, so that when such covetousness is awakened, one's intelligence no longer depends on the instruction of Shastra, logic, or argument. It's not that Raghunuga Bhakta doesn't follow, but his impetus is this intense covetousness or attraction for serving Krishna in a particular way. That's what drives him. Like in the beginning, we're in boot camp. So because our drill sergeant tells us to do it, we do it. You know, that's like a really rough analogy. But we're doing it because we know it's good for us, but we're not spontaneously attracted to it, to doing it. How many of you wake up in the morning, oh great, another day, I can chant my rounds, I can feel the ecstasy of Vrindavan. Not like that for us. Mostly we have to push ourselves because we made the vow, and we know that this is a part of our spiritual development. We have to do it. It's kind of like have to, rather than, God, I really want to do this. You know, it's like such a, you know, an intensity. Not being a Raghunuga Bhakta, you know, I can only convey what's presented in Shastra. And this is actually how we understand the Ragatmaka Bhaktas, is by hearing their pastimes. We see pastime after pastime in the Bhagavatam of the Ragatmaka Bhaktas, particularly in the Summa Bonum, the 10th canto. Okay. These Raghunuga devotees do not follow the regulative principles of devotional service very strictly, but by spontaneous nature, they become attracted to some of the eternal devotees such as Narada or Nanda or Jashoda, and they try to follow in their footsteps spontaneously. Such eagerness to follow in the footsteps, this is from Prabhupada's NOD, pages 125 and 26. Such eagerness to follow in the footsteps of the denizens of Braja is not possible unless one is freed from material contamination. There's a stage called anartha nirvritti, the disappearance of all material contamination. Okay. Here's another description of what takes place when one gets to that platform, when that lobha or that greed awakens. It's complete distaste for anything not related to Krishna. Sincere devotees anxious to hear constantly about Krishna quickly become indifferent to the allurements of sense gratification and liberation because the bliss of remembering Krishna and his associates is so powerful that it subdues all non-devotional attachments. That's Shivaram Swami's point in his book, Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani. Okay, so the practice of Raghunuga Bhakti, just briefly cover this. Meditate on the relationship of service between Krishna's dear devotee according to one's devotional aspiration. A person who aspires to constantly remember Krishna and his eternal associates is advised to physically or mentally take shelter of Vrindavan. Okay. So what I think the next point is, I'm not going to cover, so this basic overview of Raghunuga Bhakti. But then when one practices Raghunuga Bhakti, it gives them entrance into Bhava Bhakti. Okay. So have I lost anybody? I lost you? Okay. Did you say something? You have a question? Okay. Okay, sorry. Maybe Krishna's trying to tell me something. Oh, it lost its charge. Okay. Hare Krishna. Okay. So in this verse today, Krishna starts to play his flute. And then as we see in the subsequent verses, it creates incredible intensity of devotional activities amongst the gopis. So there are Krishna playing his flute is like a stimulant that just activates. Has anybody ever come in the temple room after maybe doing a lot of devotional service, going on a book distribution, and then come into the temple room and you just like this tsunami of bliss descends on you? Has that ever happened? Anybody? So the gopis. And you know, just so enlivened to hear Krishna's flute. Now, this is called the stimulants are called vibhav. It's a whole categorization. It's in the first wave of the southern division of the Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu. And within that, there are three basic categories. You know, within the Kama Rupa Ragatmaka Bhakti. One of them is the Vishaya. That's the object of love, and that's Krishna in this case. Okay? So Krishna is stimulating love, and there's the Ashray, which is the reservoir of love, the giver of love, and that's the, in this case, it's the gopis. Okay, but then there's the what's called the vibhava udipan, and that's the object it's stimulating, and that's Krishna's flute. So it's an interesting phenomena how that all works. Now, for a devotee that's on the Vaidhi Sadhana platform, he actually gets purified. I felt, I got up at 1:15 this morning because I was too tired yesterday to prepare. And I felt so purified by just reading about this. And you know, this is how one actually makes progress and begins to understand Krishna, his pastimes, understands his relationships with devotees. And then as we progress, as we hear more and more, as we follow the process of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, then eventually this lobha will awaken in our hearts. You know, okay, this is the particular type of devotional service that I'm meant to render. This is my... And it's a preliminary understanding, but it's very profound. So then one focuses. He still maintains externally the sadhana practices of the Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. But internally, he may select, okay, I'm going to study all about Krishna's relationship with Nanda Maharaj. Because he understands that he has that kind of relationship, or with Mother Yashoda, you know, the cowherd boys. So this is the process But then this Uripan, you know, of Krishna's food is very, very powerful. So many of the residents of Vrindavan were impacted by it. The plants, the animals, the birds, what to speak of the gopis. And their lives are just completely transformed by hearing that. So this is kind of a sneak preview of what's up ahead, because there'll be many, many instances of increased ecstasy that the gopis are experiencing because of Krishna's flute playing. And this just kind of starts a whole progression of ecstatic exchanges between Krishna and the gopis. Okay? I think I better stop here. And we can, I don't know if we've got another microphone or not, do we? No, that's it. So what do you do in this case? Then you hand this one around if there's questions or comments. Does anybody have a question or comment? That's no good, the battery's discharged. So we just hand this one around. And I'm going to read the verse in purport again to prime the pump of questions and discussion. The lakes, rivers, and hills of Vrindavan resounded with the sounds of maddened bees and flocks of birds moving about the flowering trees. In the company of the cowherd boys in Balaram, Madhupati, Sri Krishna, entered the forest, and while herding the cows, he began to vibrate his flute. Has anybody ever heard the song of Krishna's flute? How would we hear the song of Krishna's flute? I made the point earlier in the class, we're testing your level of attentiveness. I'm sorry? Okay, we've got to hand him the mic.
Through the gopis, their servitorship.
We experience these pastimes by reading about them. Then we get purified and we can actually be right present within the pastimes. That's the point that Prabhupada makes. We can enter into the pastimes just by reading his books. We get purified. And we don't, you know, go to our, turn on FM radio like 103.5, and that's the gopi flute station. I mean, the Krishna flute station. No, we do it by very enthusiastically executing our devotional service. And then we come to a point of purification where we really enter into those pastimes. That's my understanding. I haven't gotten there yet, but that's my understanding of how it works. By the process of hearing, we can experience Krishna's flute playing. We can experience the gopis' ecstasy. Yes, we have another question here. But, Kirtan Prabhu.
So we have the practice of sadhana bhakti with the goal intent is to practicing the rules and regulations. So that's what I'm inviting me to sign it back. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so the following the rules and regulations, the Raghunuga Bhakti doesn't disregard him, but his impetus for his devotional practice is a spontaneous attraction. Externally, he's still going to Mangalarti, he's still chanting his rounds, and he'll make adjustments on what he's reading that will nourish the particular understanding that he has of his relationship with Krishna.
So, for clarification, the Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, in the process, we're not on the pure stage of Raghunuga Bhakti.
Okay, so the Raghunuga Bhakti brings us to the perfectional stage. Raghunuga Bhakti is a vehicle to get there, it's a mechanism to get there, so to speak. But the perfectional stage is what the Ragatmaka Bhaktas in Vrindavan. So there's a difference. They're not the same thing. Raghunuga Bhakti and Ragatmaka Bhakti are different. Ragatmaka Bhakti is the perfection, where that raga is fully awakened and spontaneous loving devotion is there, like with the gopis. A Raghunuga Bhakta, he hasn't acquired his spiritual body, but he, you know, it's described, I actually had an exchange with Banu Swami about this. Okay, here's Janmastami Das. Regarding Jiva Goswami, this is an email exchange in June of 2011. I was teaching in Dubai at the time, Nectar Devotion. Regarding Jiva Goswami's commentary on Bhakti Rasamrita 1.2.295, how can the Siddha Rupa develop while one is still in the sadhana platform? Siddha Rupa is a spiritual body. My understanding is that one's sarup isn't revealed until one achieves bhava bhakti, what to speak of developing one's spiritual body while on the sadhana platform, Banaswami. It's not a real spiritual body during sadhana. Jamasthami Das, how would I explain this to my 80 sharp students in Dubai? Banaswami, it's the preparation for the spiritual body. You attain what you think of. Okay, so now you want to ask the question again? Is it a little more clear?
What would be the stage before Raghunuga Bhakti? Is just say sadhana bhakti?
And then we can. So the stage before Raghunuga Bhakti is Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. And then Raghunuga Bhakti leads us to bhava and ultimately prema, which is what's practiced, which is the stage that the Ragatmaka Bhaktas are on. The Bhava Bhakti is the sun ray of Prema Bhakti. You know, it's like the beginning. So we go Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, Raghunuga Bhakti, then Bhava Bhakti, you know, in that particular mood that started with Raghunuga Bhakti. It goes much further, awakens much more. There's a descent of Ladini Shakti and Samvit. Samvit gives us knowledge and understanding of Krishna, and Ladini Shakti, that gives us the blissful love of Krishna. So those things descend, and then they just keep expanding and expanding and expanding, and we come to the platform of Prema Bhakti, which is what the Ragatmaka Bhaktas in Vrindavan are practicing. Clear?
So for the Vaidhi Bhaktis, the persons that have not reached Raghunuga platform yet, is it what prevents us from reaching that next level is just our desire and our lack of purification, because we can be practicing Krishna consciousness for a very long time, but not necessarily have that spontaneous devotion? Or is it just by practicing Krishna consciousness for a period of time we ultimately reach that level of Raghunuga Bhakti?
Yes, we're still, there's still anartas that prevent us. You know, like Prabhupada makes a point, Nectar Devotion, there's a stage called anarta nirvritti. So this is what's blocking our development. And it's like there's an example given. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I guess this is from the Madhurya Kandambini, which is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's book on, you know, how to accelerate our advancement. And it's like the anartas are like the sun rays of pure love for God is so powerful, but we don't experience them. You know, when we're covered by anartas, it's like clouds to block the intensity of the sun. Gokulananda, you can chastise me after the class if I quoted the wrong. I'm pretty sure that's where it is. I know I had it in a PowerPoint slide when I was presenting Anartha Nivritti and Nectar Devotion. I think it's from Madhurya Kandambini where that analogy is given, you know, of the sun ray of love of God is blocked by our anartas, so we don't experience. The sun's there, but we don't experience it because it's blocked by the clouds of anarta. So it's a very vigorous process. And, you know, it may be that we may not achieve perfection in this lifetime. Okay, so here's an interesting point. I made this point about Nirguna Prabhu's departure. So Prabhupada's promise to us, this was a discussion that took place between Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada in the early days of the Juhu Temple. And you know, Prabhupada brought Tamal Krishna Maharaj in because it was incredibly difficult circumstances. It required the expertise and intelligence of Tamal Krishna Maharaj to work out. Prabhupada relied upon him heavily in extremely difficult circumstances. So he brought Tamal Krishna Maharaj in. And then one day, there were so many struggles. And one day, Tamal Krishna Maharaj exclaimed to Srila Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, how can I think of Krishna? My mind is simply filled with temple finances." And then Prabhupada responded by saying, "Yes, many lifetimes we have wasted upon ourselves. If just in this one lifetime we can dedicate heart and soul to pushing on Lord Chaitanya's movement, then at the end, even if we're not completely perfect, then Lord Chaitanya will personally come and take us back to Godhead." And this is a conversation that Tamal Krishna Maharaj presented in a Bhagavatam class, and Bhakti Vikas Swami published it in the Prabhupada Said conference in February of 2010. I still got the message. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj makes the point that it's up to Krishna whether he takes him back to Godhead or not, but nevertheless, the promise of the pure devotee is so powerful. And the example could be, you know, Bhishma Dev got Krishna to break his promise because Krishna valued the promise of his devotees even more than he did his own. He promised that he wouldn't fight and that he wouldn't, he had two things, that he would not engage in the warfare, the battle of Kurukshetra. And what was the other thing? He had two. Anyway, no, I got it. Yeah, he said that he wouldn't fight, okay? So Bhishma Dev made a vow. He would either kill Krishna, he would either kill Arjuna, or he'd get Krishna to break his vow. So he's about ready to do Arjuna in, and then sure enough, Krishna jumped off the chariot and went after him with the chariot wheel. Right? That how the pastime went? So he got him to break his vow. And so this emphasizes the point. Prabhupada made this promise. And he didn't do it just once. To Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Hari Sari said he heard him make it many times. So we dedicate our lives to pushing on this movement, and even if we're not completely perfect. But the point is that we should move towards perfection. We shouldn't be, I'm okay. I don't have to chant very 10 rounds. I can speak silent. I don't have to read Prabhupada's books. You know, because at the end, if I just somehow hang in there, then Lord Chaitanya, a person come and bring it back to Godhead. No, the sincerity should... Success in Krishna consciousness is based upon sincerity. This is a point that Prabhupada made many occasions. You have to sincerely practice, sincerely try to free ourselves of anartas. Beg Krishna to engage us in his service. It's all right? Okay, so anything else? Another question.
You were saying a little bit earlier in the class, you were talking about the siddha pranali of one's spiritual form in the spiritual world. And I think you were saying something in the sense of that you'll find out, like, once you get there. Is there any way of finding out before you get there? And I guess it doesn't really matter, does it?
That's what the loba is all about. You know, we don't artificially do, like, the siddha pranali walas, you know, say you're a peacock. You know, there was actually a former ISKCON devotee that started going like this. You know, like he was a peacock because there was some radical bubba that told him that's what he was. But that's what the loba is all about. This is the qualification for beginning the practice of Raghunuga Bhakti. There awakens within the heart a deep attraction for the relationship that a particular Raghatmika Bhakta has with Krishna. So, wow, that's, you know, just this deep in the heart realization, this is me, that's what it's all about. So then he starts pursuing it. And then as he makes progress, if it's not some kind of an egoistic show battle, you know, I'm the most advanced devotee in the world kind of thing, then Krishna reveals more and more and opens the door for Bhava Bhakti. But see, this is what Lord Chaitanya came to this world to present, you know, the spontaneous love for Krishna. So it's not something that we disregard. No. I'll never get there. I'm not advanced. We should aspire for this. It's just like, if we were going to go to Green Bay, and we didn't know on the map where, or on the GPS where Green Bay is, we could go all over the Midwest and end up in California. So you've got to have a goal in mind. So there's, it's a very important aspect of devotional service to have, we've got a certain goal, and that's to go back to Godhead, to become qualified to go back to Godhead. So it means a very intense purification that we have to undergo, and that requires the triad for success in devotional service. Does anybody remember that from the last class? 3 points. It all has to do with attitude, because advancement in Krishna consciousness is dependent upon the attitude of the practitioner. 3 things. Okay, I'm withdrawing any offers for burfi, because no. Okay, so those 3 things are utsahan, nishchayad, daryat. Okay, so enthusiasm, endeavoring with confidence, or having great faith, or having a taste, and then patience. Patience, you know, okay, I'm going through this really difficult time, I just got to be patient, shanti, shanti, Krishna's in control, or I also have to be patient with myself, you know, that I've still got these damn anartas driving me nuts. But we persevere, and then when Krishna deems it the right time in our purificatory sojourn, he removes them. Gone, like that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it can happen in just a few days, depending upon the intensity of our crying to the holy name. Anything else? Okay, everyone's ready to go back to the spiritual world? Okay. All right, I'll go to Prabhupada. Please forgive any offenses I made today and try my best. It wasn't an easy class. Hari Hari Bol.